Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 10. Then Jesus... Oh, sorry. Where are we? Now the feast, and the feast of unleavened bread, was only 2 days away. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus in order to kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. Now while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those who were saying this saw it, were indignant. Why is this waste? Why waste all this perfume? Could it not have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor? And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She poured perfume on my body to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched from that time on for an opportunity to hand him over. Before we just look at this amazing, beautiful story, isn't it? I just wanted to read something of a little gift. And I want you to then stay in those little groups and just think yourself of an occasion when you could just think something was generous, a gift was given to somebody, or something was beyond what you expected, or a time even when you were generous and gave. All right, this is just a very simple story. This was in Iraq, I think, and in very difficult situations. But the guy who's reading it just says, my mother used to tell me all these great stories, and they had a great impact on my life. One story was about a poor boy who sold items to pay for his own education. And one day he was feeling very hungry because he sometimes skipped meals in order to save as much as he could. And he decided to knock on one person's door to ask for something to eat. But coming to the door was a small girl. And he felt completely embarrassed when he saw the small girl. And instead of asking for something to eat, he asked for a glass of water. The kind girl went away and then brought him a large, very large glass of milk, which he greatly appreciated and enjoyed. He asked the girl, how much would this cost to pay for the milk? And she said, for an act of goodwill, one shouldn't ask anything at all in return. Do you know of any generous, lovely little gifts in your life, or can you think of any stories to just share with each other for a few seconds? Be very interesting, wouldn't it, to be able to share all those things. Ordinary things, great things where given is given without sort of any expectation or go beyond your expectation. So if I can just get your attention now, you can carry on with those conversations afterwards. And in one sense, this story where this woman, this is my only box, by the way, I haven't got a box, but I'm going to say this is my box of very, very expensive perfume. And she took the trouble in that set of circumstances to go in and to break the box and to waste this expensive, extravagant thing. In one sense, the story just stands complete in itself, doesn't it? It barely needs any sort of commentary. It's such a challenge that this woman would give this amount of gift to Jesus the way she did. She poured it out. What a fantastic act of devotion and love. In fact, it was set where they were honoring Jesus. And all the places where he was in Bethany, Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and in John's Gospel it says they were having a party in honor of Jesus for all the things he was and all the things he represented. So this woman comes, and by any standard, this is it not, a very outrageous act. I'm going to take the fact, personally, I believe this was Mary, with Mary and Martha, and there's some controversy, but if you can accept that for me just at the moment. All right, so we'll take it as Mary and Martha. So, but what I'm trying to say is just going to draw a few things about this actual giving. It was absolutely, totally extreme. It was by any standards outrageous. It was an act of giving, devotion, total exuberance, a radical outpouring of gratitude. Maybe it was in response to the fact that Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. Maybe it was just that she wanted to support his ministry. Maybe she just wanted to show her gratitude to Jesus. I have a group of words here, and it's very interesting. I don't know where I got it from, but it has all appropriate sort of like spiritual words that are good, like courage and concern and cautiousness. And the list just kind of gives you all references where you could find them in the Bible. However, on the downside, it says, for instance, you can be cautious, so you've got scripture for that. But on the downside, it can tip into fear, all right? Compassion can just tip into being gushy, pity, not the real thing. Courage can go into recklessness. And then when I come down to this woman, and I thought, right, well, she's generous and she's enthusiastic. And the downside was supposed to be radical, a squanderer, lavish. Well, I think Mary still fits the bill, don't you? She's gone beyond the boundary of what one would say was appropriate. So there you go. If you want this list, you can have it. All right? And this unique thing that she did must have taken immense inner courage, mustn't it? I mean, she was flying against all the kind of standards of behavior. What was it that prompted her? What was it that chose this particular time to do this fantastic thing and to express in such a positive way these things that she felt for Jesus? It must have taken a great deal of inner courage. Now, not only was it extremely extravagant, which it was. I mean, we are talking very expensive perfume. I have bought bits of perfume for my wife, but I've never spent a year's wages on one item. And, you know, imagine that. I mean, it was expensive. Think of what you've got as the most expensive thing and think about maybe giving it away. Also, though, this was a uniquely appropriate and opportune time. You know, we're looking at Mark's Gospel, and when you look at the backdrop of this story and you look at the characters involved, I always love it when you just kind of see the interplay. One book I'm reading suggests that if you can, and we're going to try and do it as a church, I think we did it once, read the whole of Gospel of Mark right the way through, because the characters keep getting reinforced in a particular way. And the authorities are here, you know, the various priests, scribes, Pharisees. These oppose Jesus right from the start. But the tension and the aggression just continue to grow. The more that Jesus ministered, spoke, was in public view, the more the kind of hostility that was come against him. They were suspicious, they were argumentative, and generally they were antagonistic to Jesus and his whole ministry. The disciples, that's the other characters, they're very vividly portrayed. For obvious reasons, this is the group that we encounter the most. Yet, generally, they receive a bad press, as in this story. It was the disciples who rebuked and were down on this lady for this particular act. And they regularly fail to understand. They ask stupid questions. They fail to understand even the answers that they are given. And they ultimately run away, leaving Jesus on his own. When they do appear at times to understand, they fail at the critical point when it matters most to really live it out. There was a saying, wasn't there? There was an old Chinese saying. It was something like, it's better to remain silent and look intelligent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
And that was their adage. You know, that's the kind of thing that they lived by. If one of them would say something, I often think where the disciples later in the day got together and said, why did you say that? You know, because one of them is going to say something stupid. Jesus makes a statement, Jesus does something, and he says a word, and they think, right, okay. And then they ask the question that makes them realize they haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue at all. And then when they think they've got it, they go and say something else. So they're speaking. It's better for them, I think. But actually, it's fortunate for us that they do say something, because we're the disciples. We're in that bunch. So in Jesus now, at this time, this particular thing is more than just a little gift. If you can just put it into this context, Mark chapter 14, verse 1, starts with the Pharisees now, 2 days before the Passover, and they're plotting to kill Jesus. Jesus is aware of that. He says in Matthew's gospel that he told the disciples again that in 2 days' time, he would be handed over to the authorities and crucified. So it was something that he knew. He knew this was happening. In fact, I read a book one time, and the fellow was reading it, who was studying it, said he started to read French, and he looked into the French gospel, and this chapter just kind of spoke to him, because in the French translation, it says, like 2 days before the Passover, everybody would have been looking for their lamb that they would use as a sacrifice. They were looking for a pastoral lamb. And in that context of 2 days before, the Pharisees and the rulers are looking for Jesus. So their hostility is growing, and they're trying to plot a way to kill him. So there's aggression behind this. This is not a nice, pleasant scene. This is a tense scene. And how was it that Mary then knew instinctively, somehow? I mean, this morning we read, didn't we, the women, they often met the needs of Jesus. They kind of supported him. But there was something about this gift that intuitively picked up on something. If ever he needed support, encouragement, 2 days and I'll be dead, it's now. He genuinely wanted the disciples to be with him in the agony of the garden. And sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but occasionally my mind moves Jesus to such a high level, even in his human life, that I think he's beyond needs. But he was had needs, and he had wants, and he had need of encouragement. And just think of this one little gift into that aggressive situation. Here comes an act of love coming the other way that breaks this box and gives Jesus something. Opportunity. You know, you don't know, I don't know, sometimes what one little act of kindness can actually do. How it can change a situation. I often think, you know, we sing, don't we, Lord, I don't know the exact song, but it says, you know, bring your spirit down, change the atmosphere. And I believe in that. But, you know, God doesn't always change the atmosphere like that. I've used it before, but let me just tell you, I'm not in the habit of arguing with my wife. But I have had arguments and disagreements with my wife. And then occasionally somebody has knocked on the door. And we are in, you know, either you go into sort of quiet mode, but you know that you're still holding the thing. Don't look as if you're all saints. The atmosphere is there. And into that atmosphere, you open the door. And this person who's got nothing to do with this argument comes into your atmosphere. And then you're smiling. But, you know, they've set an atmosphere. So whilst it is right to pray to God that he would change the atmosphere of Middlesbrough, you know, actually, we need lots of little acts of kindness, because they change the atmosphere. They move something. God moves in that act of kindness. So that was one illustration, one little way, one little level of what was happening here. Just somebody giving encouragement to you. Somebody giving encouragement to Jesus. Amen. It's not a waste. It's important. You get here and you think, we're a bit down on numbers tonight. Here we go. Somebody's going to pray when two or three are gathered together. It's all like a small... No, we're giving this to Jesus, aren't we? This is his time. Bless him. Amen. So that's just one view. So he's facing all this hostility. And into that also, behind this thing, is another story. There's a story of these characters, but there's also an interplay. And if you can get a hold of this, you'll find that the scripture opens up a lot on this. There are takers and there are givers. The Pharisees come into that group of taking. They wanted to take his life. But they were jealous, they were envious. They wanted what he had. They wanted to be famous like he was famous. And it was annoying them to death. And so they were takers, all right? Into that, you've got a woman who comes as a giver. And all the way through scripture, you'll find even some Bible characters, sometimes they're the good guys, like David. He's the giver, all right? He's the king. But then when he sees Bathsheba, he becomes a taker, and he gets into a whole pile of trouble. So there's givers and takers all the way through the scriptures. And just look always for the hook. Is there a hook in there? Now, this gift that she gave, there's no hook. There's nothing in it for her. In fact, she's going to face hostility. She's going to face ridicule. If it is Mary, and I was interested in reading John's Gospel, because it says, Martha was serving at the tables. Now, they'd already had a debate about that, hadn't they? And she would think, right, where's Mary now? She's gone upstairs. I'm serving, I'm doing all this running around. Sound like my wife. I'm doing all the dishes, I'm carrying this, I'm doing that. Where are you? But Mary decided, no, this thing that she'd kept, this was her opportunity to just do it. So it was absolutely in critical point that she did it. Not only was he needing her encouragement, the opportunity presented itself. And when she broke this most expensive perfume and poured it on him, over his head, she did something that nobody else could ever do again. Even the ladies that went to the tomb at the end and they took spices and all these things, which would have been expensive, there was no opportunity for them to give that gift. This opportunity presented itself. How she perceived it, I don't know. But it was there, and it was something she wanted to do. Despite what anybody thought about it, despite all the opposition, she was going to pour out her love to him. Push through sometimes, you know. Push through. Push through in sort of your ordinary life, but push through occasionally in you know, I was very timid about praying out loud, and I couldn't do it. And then I pushed through. The time I finally pushed through, everybody started shouting. They couldn't hear me anyway. But you have to make some little steps sometimes. And I bet you know, we have this kind of charismatic, lovely Christian feeling that when I'm moving in the Spirit and when God's doing things and it's all good, you know, somehow it's a really nice feeling. And it will just carry me along and there won't be a problem on the horizon. Well, you know, I think she probably was scared, hesitant, questioning, doubting, and yet she still did it. She still brought her gift. Are you a taker or a giver? Another thing to say about it? Well, it was wasteful. It actually was very wasteful. It was probably something like, I don't know, a day's wages, how much is that? Say £100. A year's wages, it depends how much you got. I didn't get very much. But let's say £60,000. £60,000 worth of perfume just going to be poured out in one thing. It was very wasteful. And bless the disciples, and more so Judas comes and he rebukes them. They rebuke her. They were very, very harsh with her. She faced ridicule and hostility. And this wasn't just some kind of like, tut tut, you shouldn't have done that. I don't think that was appropriate. This was a real telling off. It's bad enough being told off as a kid, isn't it? But when you're told off as an adult, it takes on a whole new perspective. And do you know what I love in this story? I mean, they must have thought, well, she's just drawing attention to herself. Why all this waste? She could have given this to the poor. You know? It was completely wasteful. The other day I was with a couple of friends, and their life, they just amazed me. We hadn't seen each other for 20 years. They'd served Jesus in different contexts. And many a time, through what they were sharing with us, they'd earned very, very little money. I watched him with his boy, and it was absolutely beautiful. I looked into them, just chatted with them, and there was something in their spirit which was just remarkable. They weren't successful. You know, you could say, well, what have they done? But they did some amazing things for Jesus. You could say it was a whole waste, a wasted life. No, there was something that had paid off in the quality of their spirit, in their character, and it was indelibly printed into them. And they were just beautiful people. And you know what? I wanted to be with them. I wanted to spend time with them. I wanted to talk to them, because it wasn't a competition. And they didn't have lots of things. They'd given and given and given. And when we talked, their heart, they want to go to Africa and they want to serve. Now, they're not going to, because they've got to look after their boy. But the way they looked after him, that's kingdom, isn't it? This is what we're called into. And it might look a complete waste, but it isn't. I don't know if you were brought up on the books of Watchman Nee. Do you remember Watchman Nee? No. He's a very famous preacher and writer. He wrote things like Normal Christian Life, and at the time they were quite revolutionary, weren't they, John? And Normal Christian Church Life. Watchman Nee was a very, very clever man. And he relates just one story when he met with his university professor after he'd qualified, who expected great things of Watchman Nee. And he told him what he was doing, that he was a minister of the gospel. And the man looked at him in such a way that he knew, he thought, what a waste. But I tell you, that man influenced maybe a vast amount of people from his writings and his ministry. It's what we consider to be waste. I remember talking to a lady in Ripon, an old lady. She was lovely. And she spent some time praying. And I don't know where I got this from, but I just said to her, you know, any time spent with God is never wasted. And she took hold of that and kept it. It was like a thing of a life. Just beautiful. What I also love, though, about this is the way that Jesus responds to the disciples. He tells them off. They're telling their hair off. Now it's his time to get up and say, leave her alone. Like, you know, I'm not messing about. You back off. She's done a beautiful thing to me. And actually, I don't know whether it's something, but Judas, he went off from this time. And if ever there was a taker, it was Judas. He was a thief, wasn't he? He helped himself to the bag. And whether he got told off this time, whether that's something just triggered in him, or whether there was something else going on in him. But the end in verse 10, it was that after that, he went out and he started to betray Jesus. And you know what he said? What will you give me? Are you blessed when other people get really blessed? When people get other things given to them? Or are you a little bit jealous, a little bit envious? But I love his response. I love his telling them off, giving them a good dousing down. Shouting at them instead. Leave her alone. She's done an amazing thing for me. And he says, what she has done, every time the gospel is spoken of, this will be mentioned. I think it's because this extravagant act is a bit like the gospel itself. God can't do any more for you, to be honest. It's an extravagant, expensive thing that costs God in order to bring us in to his fellowship with him. And finally, we're getting there. It was a prophetic act. I don't know whether Mary actually understood this, but when I was thinking about this, do you know in Psalm 23 it says, you've prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. Judas is there now. They're plotting to kill him. And you anoint my head with oil. And Mary fulfills that prophetic word, doesn't she, in this simple act. Whether she thought all that through or not, she actually did it. And who knows again, when you do something, what the import of that will actually be for other people. But you can end up acting in a very godly way by giving. Well, finally, it changed the atmosphere. John's Gospel, it just says, and all the perfume filled the house. So rather than knocking on the door and feeling, hey, what's the atmosphere here? There was something about an atmosphere of giving that fills the house, isn't it? I know Christmas is like that. We're all happy. We've all got nice things. We're given things. It changes the atmosphere. Middlesbrough, if it needs anything, it needs givers. It needs some cheering up, doesn't it? It needs some Holy Spirit, joyful giving that would change its atmosphere. Let me just finish this little story with... So it's a bit of a challenge. It was extravagant. It was costly. It was for a prophetic act. And Jesus said, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Leave her alone. Let me just read this final story. Find it. Back to Syria, all right, or Iran. A girl who was growing up there was diagnosed with a life-threatening disease. She had considered special treatment that she would be necessary, but she could not at all fulfill the amount of money that would be required. She couldn't face the bills. There was no way they could do it. So she kept putting it off, and then finally she was forced to go into the hospital. When she went into the hospital, the treatments that the surgeon gave her were expensive and extensive, and she knew that the bill was going up and up and up, all right? And then when the bill finally came, she was totally shocked. Any ideas how much it might be? She got a letter and said, all the expenses for your operation and time at the hospital have been paid off with a glass of milk. It was the surgeon, the young boy. And this man then went on and said, when I heard that story from my mother, I always desired that if I was able to do anything in my life that could have a positive influence and help other people, I would do it. Amen.